remember growing up actually in this church when I was little, and I stayed here until I was in high school and finally got out on my own. And if the definition of being a Christian is believing in Christ, then I was. I did believe that Christ was God's Son. I believed that I was a sinner, and I believed that Christ died on the cross for my sins. But I think there's a fourth step that I didn't have. I didn't accept Christ into my life as my Savior to rescue me, or as my Lord to control me, or my friend to be with me. If he had, I'd have never left. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I remember clearly when I started having an empty feeling. I remember trying to stay busy, and nothing I did would occupy that void. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. And I can testify that that's really what happens. So I returned to the church. I knew what I was missing and that Christ was who I needed. Even knowing this, I didn't really know what I was looking for, and I had no idea what I would find. As a child, I learned Bible stories and I memorized Bible verses, but I didn't have a personal relationship with my Lord. In the scripture from Luke that Troy just read, we see there's two different types of women. Martha, she knew Jesus. She welcomed him in her home. And it says that she became distracted, worrying over preparing a meal for him. And then you have her sister Mary. It tells how she sat at his feet and heard his word. She knew him and she longed to listen to him. She made it personal. She had that hunger to know him, like we all should. And as we heard Martha complain to Jesus, he responds to her by telling, as we hear Martha complain to Jesus about Mary not helping her, he responds to her by telling her that she is missing something. He tells her that one thing is needed. They're right there. As I think back, that was like Martha for a long time. Even after I started coming back to church, I was active and I was involved and I was trying to do all the right things, but still I knew there had to be more. Something was missing. Not until I really started reading the Bible and tried to pray other prayers than those that I'd memorized did some of the missing pieces start filling in. I started to see what Jesus was talking about when he told Martha that Mary had chosen the good part. It didn't come to me overnight. I first started reading it like a book and learning about people like it was history. Then I started praying for understanding. I heard Dorothy Taylor make a statement, and she's made it several times, but I remember the first time, he did as much for me as he did for them. And I just had to find that. Then I started finding verses that could have been written for me. And I wondered how that could be. This book was written so long ago, but it was like it was talking to me. Thank you. Sorry. It became the living word. And that was a concept that was hard for me to understand. Because until it became alive, and until it started meaning something to me, or until it started letting it make a difference in my life, and until I finally let it become personal, it went from being known as the good book to the living word. And Jesus said, I am the word. And if we back up a couple of verses from what Troy read to you in Romans, if we back up to 4:23, we see where it says that we are accepted and approved through our faith. And in verse 25, it goes on, and a Living Bible reads, he died for our sins, and he rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. But if you make that personal and you put me in there, it reads that he died for my sins and he rose again to make me right with God, filling me with God's goodness. What a difference it makes when I put me in there. Then it goes on to 5:1 to say that after you accept this, you can go on to have real peace with him and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You can become all that God has had in mind for us to be. In the Living Bible, in verse 5, it says that we are able to hold our heads high. No matter what happens, and know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us. It amazes me at what I find in here. I can start reading sometimes and get to where I don't want to put it down. I find things that fit my life that were written like they were just written today. I found a lot of old sayings. I've run across cliches like what goes around comes around. The clothes don't make the man. And you know how we tend to make plans and say that we're going to go such and such or we're going to do such and such? That's actually in James 4:13. But if you keep reading in 14 and 15, James goes on to say that we don't know what will happen tomorrow. And that instead we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That's making it more personal when we put us in there. In Philippians 4:6, Paul tells us not to worry about anything. Instead, to pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. We raise our children up to say thank you. But how often do we tell the Father thank you, and how much more He does for us? I'm not perfect at times, and sometimes I feel so unworthy of His love. But I know He loves me, and He's never too busy, and He always listens. And there's nothing like the feeling I get when He speaks to me. Once I stop and listen, and I know He does. In Psalms 32, which was the Psalter we read early, it's one of my favorites if you read the whole thing. The Living Bible says, I will instruct you and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. He goes on to say, don't be stubborn like a mule. There are things that happen. There are ideas that I have. There are notes that I jot down that I know didn't come from me. And when I read the right verse in the morning and I have a hard time at day, that verse just comes back and I know that He put it there. But like the disciples, most of the time it's after it happens when I think back and remember and I realize, like He promised, that He's always there with me. And I get this warm feeling inside knowing He's there. And I pray that my faith and my relationship will continue to grow. I've come a long way as I look back, but I've got a long way to go. And I don't want it to stop here. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I'm the one that's busy. I'm the one that has to make time. He's always there for us. It's so easy to get distracted and let things get in the way. I read this story many years ago, and I don't know where it came from. I wish I could give credit for it. But then it was like a little cliche or a story that someone told me or I read. But it had to be more to that because it's been probably 10 years, and I've never forgotten it. And I'm not one of these that can remember jokes or stories and pass them on. But it goes, there's some bad little foggy spots in there, so I kind of inserted stuff. It started out where there was these three people on a train and it derailed, or there was a lot of people on a train, but three of them died. And when they got to the pearly gates, they met the gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper looked at him and said he had one question. So he went to the first man and he asked him if he knew Jesus, and the man told him that he was a missionary, that he had left his home. He had traveled all over the world. He had dedicated his life to spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So the gatekeeper moved to the second man, and he asked him if he knew Jesus. And he also stood up straight and proud, and he said, I was a pastor at a church. I preached from the Bible. I prayed for the people. I ministered to the sick. Then the gatekeeper moved to the third person. He looked at the woman and asked, do you know Jesus? The woman dropped her head. She replied, I have not done anything as great as these. I was a mother to my two boys and a wife to my husband. But she raised her head and she looked the gatekeeper in the eyes and she said, but I'd know you, Lord, anywhere. Let us pray. We praise you, Lord, for the blessing of your presence in our lives. May your grace surround us. Help us not to be distracted, but to do your will for us in our lives. Help us to grow in our faith and our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.